Hello, everybody. I'm Tom Vassell.
Hey, everybody. It's Rotto here.
We're certainly glad to have you with us today for Corner to Corner. And today is a different one. Instead of subtly jabbing Board Game Geek with our thoughts about their mechanisms.
Which Scott Alden is now aware of, by the way.
Yes.
I did point it out to him.
We did tell him about it.
Yeah.
And, you know, because all joking aside, it is a tremendous amount of work. The website for Board Game Geek is so gigantic at this point, to make any change in it is very tricky.
Yep.
But anyhow, and also we're not going to be doing a definitive, with no arguments allowed, top five list. Today we're just talking about Spiel, which I still have a hard time. I'm trying to get myself into the habit of saying that. Because I've always said Essen.
Oh, instead of saying just the name of the town?
Yeah.
Like, it's the equivalent of calling a convention San Francisco, because it happens to take place in San Francisco. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it must have started back. People would just say, I'm going to Essen for Gen, you know, for the Spiel. And Essen is an easier word maybe for Americans. Who knows? Either way, it's been going on. But they don't call it that. And now it's called Spiel Digital because it's online. And it's starting Thursday. And let's take the whole digital versus physical thing out of it. You know, who knows? It's kind of a weird thing. Some games have already been released. Some games are being released in a few weeks. Definitely, companies are not rushing to get their games there.
Yeah. I have to admit, I don't quite understand what it means to have a game release at Essen Spiel Digital. I mean, Essen Spiel Digital doesn't have, like, their own shop or something like that, do they?
I don't know. Gen Con had their own store, but I wasn't awfully impressed by it. And see, it's kind of weird. So I ordered from the Gen Con store and I got the games 5 or 6 weeks later, which while I was waiting for some of them to show up, I could have bought them at either a local store, a few of them, from another online place. So what's the benefit? I figure, you know, when you go to a convention, people buy games because it's right there and then in your hand, you're talking to designer and publisher. You can do a little of that on a digital con, but not quite the same way.
Exactly, yeah.
Yes, Spiel does mean to play or game, but that's what they call it.
Yes, I believe the full title is Essen Spiel Tage, because it's the full title is Play Day or Game Day or something like that.
Yeah, so I'm doing, on our channel, we'll be doing some live playthroughs of games starting tomorrow. We shifted everything by a day because I want to take Sunday off. It's interesting. Most conventions, Sunday is a wind-down day, but not at the Spiel. It still goes to 6 o'clock, 1 hour shorter. Ooh.
Yeah.
And people do not slow down in coming all the way up to the end.
Mm-hmm.
So what we're doing today is we're going to be looking at the game's release. Now, Eric Martin, who is the news editor of Board Game Geek, puts together a list every year for the different cons that come out. He does a fantastic job of this. It's a lot of work, and it is incredibly useful. I use it all the time.
Yes.
And so we figured we would show that off here. Now, this one's going to be a little different than normal because of the fact that it's digital, and there's possibly some games on here that are not at the Spiel. Or is there a way to do that, to check only ones that are at the Spiel?
I think there might be, actually. I didn't even occur
click
to me.
Click filters.
You just said that. I think
then
you can
check
filter
Spiel
by
Digital.
Spiel only.
All right, hang on. I'll add that filter in.
You can have pick up at event. But what event? There is no event. But you can tick Spiel Digital, which means the list goes from 364, which is what we were about to talk about, down to 231. So I guess we should do that as well.
All right, hang on. This filter thing keeps popping on and then off. All right, I touched it. I'm not touching anything else.
We were totally prepared, folks.
Well, I was, so I read that comment there. All right. So I need to check that. And let's apply it. Oh, is Red Cathedral going to make it? It did. Okay.
It did. All right. I don't know what we lost, but I'm still ready to talk about this stuff.
All right, but before we do that, you got to tell us what's on the table in front of you. It's tradition.
This, hopefully it's on this list. This is Pandaria Merchants, which is the roll and write of a Iron Games game that came out a couple years ago called Pandaria. And this is fantastic. This is probably, at this point, I would say the second heaviest roll and write on the market after Roman Roll. It has so much going on. Jen and I were really blown away by it when we played it the first time a few days ago. And I was just filming it yesterday, and it's still out. And it's phenomenal. It's really, really
actually,
good.
I think I've played at least one heavier game than Roman Roll.
Oh, really?
Was it Lorenzo or something? It was a really small game, but it was fairly chunky. But All right, well, let's see if we come across it on the list. So we'll start with, this surprises me, actually, that this one is higher than us, although me and Rado were just talking that they just added Rosenberg's games to the list, so there's no way they're going to make the top. But Red Cathedral from Devir Games. Now, I've played this. I'll be reviewing it. No, I just reviewed it.
I think you already have. I think you put a video up the other day. I've yet to watch it.
So this game is a rondelle. Dice in a rondelle, and you move them around, and if they land where other dice are, you then take the action equal to the number of times. But you can also kind of upgrade your dice, so when you move a dice, you also get a bonus, and you're building a cathedral. I found it to be a lot of game in that small box.
Mm.
I really enjoyed it. I think I gave it 8 out of 10. That's pretty high.
Would you say it warrants being the hottest game of Essen Spiel 2020?
No, but I haven't. Folks, I'm going through this list for one of the first times, actually, so we'll see. I'll come back and redeclare it. Although, I'm going to argue that the second game here is hotter already.
I would think so, yes. A lot of people are very excited about Lost Ruins of Arnak from Czech Games Edition. Seems like they have sent out copies to every reviewer in the universe for this game.
CG doesn't fool around when it comes to marketing, and it works, folks. Publishers who are wondering, it works. I just got the actual final product of it yesterday, and this is a heavy game, and by that I mean physically, it is a chunker. Oh. I'm really pumped about it. I like the theming of it. I haven't played it yet. I think we're playing it tomorrow, maybe, or soon.
Oh, it'll be one of your live
marathon. It will be.
Yeah.
It has, if I hadn't known who the publisher was, I would have been able to tell by the graphic design that it was CG.
Yeah.
It looks good. It looks good.
Anything from CGE gets an instant must play as far as I'm concerned.
I would argue that any big game from CGE, yes.
What, are you not a Letter Jam fan? What are you talking about?
Well, that's true. Letter Jam is good. But some of the smaller games, you do remember they have the company that made Bunny Bunny Moose Moose.
I can't say that I've tried Bunny Bunny Moose Moose.
Bunny Bunny Moose Moose,
but
I think.
You've just sold me on it.
I don't think it works with two players, though. Anyway, no. So you have not played this one yet.
No, I have not. It, like you said, it just showed up in the mail for me yesterday as well. I don't know if I'll have time to do it this week, but I am looking forward to it. It seems like it's their big, big push of the year, this game.
This next one I have not played or gotten yet, but I'm pumped. It's for two reasons, or three reasons. One, it's from DLP Games, who made Orleans, which I really like. Two, it's Alexander Pfister. Very good pedigree there. And three, that's an amazing cover.
It is beautiful art. And let's not forget number four, because Alexander Pfister continues his mission of bringing narrative campaign play into Euros, and I know you love that so much.
Yeah. let's take a look at the board for it.
Yeah, okay.
Did they drop a bunch of cotton on it? Huh. Oh, maybe those are tiles. Huh. Well, that looks unusual. It almost looks like it has a Mad Max look to it.
Yeah, I think it is some kind of post-apocalypse, we had to escape to the air kind of thing.
All right, I'm cool. Scenario.
Me, I'm just excited. Yeah, I mean, you have me at Pfister just instantly. And engine building, deck building, resource management, yes. But a campaign system that makes it easy to start playing quickly with new elements introduced as players progress through the chapters and you experience and help guide the story, yes, please. I know we don't see eye to eye on it, but I still think this is the future of Euro games. Alexander Pfister is on the cutting edge, and I'm always excited to see
the
how
future
he
of Euro
that
games. Nah, I mean I can
and
see this happening.
Completely ignore all of it. You'll practically spit in the man's face. I don't care about any of that work. I just want to play this as a standalone game.
Maracaibo is amazing. Don't need that extra stuff. All right. This next one sounds super boring from the name. But then, and even the theme, build the medieval city of Prague by choosing from six ever-changing actions. However, it's Delicious Games and Vladimir Suchy.
You would want to be involved in the development of it. But yeah, a Delicious Game, Vladimir Suchy, one of the best Euro designers in the universe. And I have played this, and it's fantastic. You know, this is basically his big box follow-up to Underwater Cities, which made a big splash, what was it, 2 years ago, I think? That was Delicious Games' first game. And this one is even bigger. It's got so many components packed in the box. It's a very fast-playing and yet incredibly crunchy, rich game. It kind of has almost a Zulkan vibe because it has a big spinning dial on the board that modifies the value of all the different actions you can do as you're playing.
Well, that I like. Yeah, I like his stuff a lot.
I'll be playing it live this Saturday. That's my plan to play this one because Jen just wants to play it again. And I'm like, okay, I got to do a live video, so maybe we should do that one.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that one. All right, yeah. Then we have Bonfire. And here we have, hopefully, the return of Stefan Feld. He's been kind of, he hasn't hit the biggest games of the year for the past couple of years. Other than, I guess he just had the reprint of, not reprint, but sequel to Castles of Burgundy, the Castles of Tuscany.
Tuscany, yes.
But Bonfire. Now, I will say the name is cool, but maybe if I take a closer look, I'm not sold by that cover.
This is going to be another one of his games like, what was it, Aquasphere, where you will dismiss it as, why did we even bother to put theme in this? It's all a bunch of meaningless mechanisms barely held together by the thinnest of themes. And that's the same case here because apparently it's a fantasy universe where all of our people have disappeared and we're trying to light bonfires to let them find their way home. But really, this is Feld at his crunchiest, just converting resources into actions to make victory points. And supposedly it's great, but I haven't played it yet. I'm very excited to, but I have yet to receive a review copy of it. I'm hoping I do before the end of the year. Fingers crossed.
Whoever is doing that, make sure I get it for Rado. Here's the deal. I actually go into a Feld game expecting there to be no theme, so it doesn't really bother me. But yeah. Aquasphere, the theme was so cool. You know, I really love that idea of the underwater habitat stuff. I still didn't like the game regardless. But I don't mind. Like, I like Trajan, zero theme. You know, it is. But this one looks good.
Yeah, I'm sure it's great because, of course, it's Feld, so it must be. I did for... some folks, like me, might be a bit worried. Apparently, it's a bit more cutthroat than what he normally gives us. I heard somewhere.
Cutthroat is okay, maybe. We'll see.
Yeah.
All right, the next one here.
Good luck. Here we go.
What'd you say the next one was?
I'm sorry, what were you saying?
I'm done. I think it's Polis.
It's the Inca Empire.
Okay, this one, I just got in. I would love to play this soon. But it's just not going to make it this week. So next week
it came in too late to make it into your...
Yeah, I did make it into that playthrough, but I'll be playing it next week and be flipping it. I like the T series.
I'm going to take my best guess, by the way, because somebody should. Tawan Tinsuyu is what I'm going to assume. The Inca
Someone
Empire.
Gave me a shortened thing. Like, I want to see you or to want to see you. I don't remember what... Someone gave me like a gnome... a way to remember how to say it, and I forgot it. All right, anyhow, it looks good. I like the T series. If you start with Zulkan, Teotihuacan, Trismegistus, and what's the one that came out this summer?
Tekkenu.
Tekkenu. I think, that's...
This is from Dave Turchi, though. Although, you know, his name is Turchi, but, the previous games in what some people call a T series are Daniel Taschini games, and as far as I know, Taschini is involved with this. But I guess Board and Dice, we'll take any big T we can. And all I know is, I haven't really looked at this very much, but it is from Dave Turchi. I'm always interested in any design he does.
He's a little on the heavy side.
Even
though I don't
like his games, I think they're really well considered. And I love how he just keeps reinventing himself, coming up with new stuff. He does not rest on his laurels. He's always trying to push new boundaries.
He's also the king of solo. If a game has a solo variant, it's probably by him nowadays.
It's either him or Morten Peterson and company. One of them. Yep.
All right.
And I imagine this, I'm sure, has a solo. And wouldn't it be ironic if Dave didn't do it, but the Otama Factory did it instead?
That'd be
an ultimate team up.
Sure. The board isn't selling me on it, but then again, who knows? It might be fantastic once you play it. With this kind of game, I'm not... Although I do like the colors, and a pentagon makes me happy. It's not a hexagon, it's something different. the next one, Polis, is a two-player. Now, this is a reprint, actually, of an older game, And that cover is phenomenally cool. The game, when you look at the back of the game, because this came in, it looks like almost a war game for two players.
Yep. Actually, as I recall, because I looked at covering this when the original one came out a few years ago, and I stopped when somebody told me, yeah, this is a war game for Euro fans. And I'm like, oh, well, let's move on.
It looks really nice. I mean, this this is the second game Devere has in the top list here. They're really hitting it up on
their year. They're pushing.
Well, of course, then right underneath them, just like underneath number one, another Czech Games edition. This is Under Falling Skies.
Yep.
This one I have not played because it's a solo game, and so I already have several solo gamers here at the Dice Tower headquarters. So, I mean, I might do it. I was just, right before we recorded this, I was looking at the box. This is another very heavy physical game.
Yep.
And I was very impressed with how it looked. It looked like a Space Invaders board game.
Yeah, for solo game. Yeah, I'm sure it's great. My copy of it just showed up yesterday, too, and they sent two copies. One, which is the retail copy, and then one, which is a special copy that doesn't have story spoilers for use in run-through videos like mine, which I was very surprised by, which therefore implies it's got a strong narrative element to it as well.
I will now go out and look at the two copies, because there's two copies. I just assumed they were duplicates.
Nope, they are not.
All right. Calico is not technically new. This came out closer to Gen Con, although it's possible that it was only sent out to Kickstarter backers.
Kickstarter backers, yeah.
And now it's getting the full release. Either way, fantastic abstract game.
Yeah, it is wonderful. Right now, it's my number one favorite game of the year, unless you consider Pandemic Legacy Season Zero. So it'd really be my number two. And I'm sure it won't be by the end of the year because lots of cool stuff is coming, but... Man, we were so blown away by this one the first time we played it. It's just gorgeous. It's fast. It's super crunchy. I guess maybe for some people kind of analysis paralysis prone, that would be my only warning to people because it will really make you work. And you wouldn't think it. It just looks like a cute, charming little game along the lines of a patchwork. But it is so much more than that.
All right. This one just came in the mail today. Polynesia.
Oh, I'm jealous.
Really cool little font. I don't know much about it other than it's from Ludonova. Has a cool looking board. Looks a little abstract. But, yeah, looks cool.
Yeah, yeah. I just like the designer, Per Sylvester. I think he does very good work. He's kind of flying under the radar. Doesn't get as much attention as he should.
Well,
so
what's he done here? The Lost Expedition. The King is Dead, North American Railways, Judge Dredd, The Cursed Earth. Well, that's the same as Lost Expedition, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I have not played many of his games, actually.
Oh. You spread your wings.
Yeah, you're right. I don't play enough games. All right. All right. The next one here is Paris. This is the new Game Brewer game. Now, this one is a little interesting to me because it says... Hang on, let me look at the publisher because I want to make sure I'm saying it right. Yeah, if you notice, this is a Euro game here from Game Brewers, but unlike previous years, I'm not seeing a co-branding with Tasty Minstrel.
Wow. That's true. Tasty Minstrel's really fallen off the radar.
They have. And yeah. So because of that, I'm curious who has the English distribution for this game. Because I don't think Game Brewer, I don't see a lot of their games here unless they've been brought over, like I said, from Tasty Minstrel. I might be wrong on that one. This one has a cool looking board. It looks like another crunchy Euro game.
It's a Kramer and Kieselin game. And so like all of their games, it's incredibly thinky and yet incredibly simple and elegant at the core of it. It's kind of a worker placement game where your workers have to keep on, you can't just go wherever you want. Once you've gone to a certain place, you've cut off areas that are below that, so you have to keep working your way up, up like their property market, basically. And so, I mean, you could jump and get the best properties right away, but then, oh, I've just left all the other stuff for you and my opponent. So, you know, trying to judge that is a big part of the game, and it was really sharp.
All right, then we have the Castles of Tuscany. I just mentioned this one earlier, the sequel to Castles of Burgundy. I was talking to Z. He's played this. He told me it has a lot of similarities. You know one is based on the other, and it feels a little streamlined compared to the original.
I am hoping they send me a review copy, because I am Mr. Feld and I have not seen one yet.
Well, Z is not Mr. Feld, actually, but his girlfriend...
Well, Castle Z doesn't Burgundy, like it anymore, have him send it to me.
Yes, no, listen, his girlfriend's favorite game is Castles of Burgundy. So I had to send this over. I had to send this over in that direction and to see what they thought of it. I think Z's review of that will be going up soon. All right, Hansa Teutonica Big Box. Have you seen this yet? Because this is like a... I keep hearing about this, but where is it?
No, I'm really surprised. I'm just surprised this exists. I mean, Hansa Teutonica is a brilliant design, but I thought it was going to be one of the ones lost for the ages. So it's great that, like, pretty much an entire new generation of gamers gets to play it. It is interesting that it's 3-5, because I know the second printing of Hansa Teutonica... Is it Andreas Setting, I think, is the designer? He went back and he did a new two-player variant for it. But now I'm thinking maybe they dropped it. And they just said, nope, forget about it, two players. This is 3-5-player game.
I don't know. I was kind of hoping they would upgrade the theming of it because it's fall asleep boring. I like Hansa Teutonica a lot. It's actually a game that has like a tech tree in it to some degree. But there is no theme. And I was hoping they'd make it at least look a little more interesting. It does not. But it's still a good game.
Yeah.
I will add it to the Dice Tower library. I'll probably actually play it because it's been a decade or more since I played it.
I'm sure you'll have a great time. Don't judge a book by its cover.
I judge books by their cover all the time. Make your covers look interesting, people.
Let that be a warning to you, publishers.
Trois Dice.
Don't judge you.
Speaking of boring covers, Now,
I cannot defend this cover. No, for trois dice.
Have you played it yet?
Yes, we just played it this weekend. Had a great time. This is not trois the dice game where because the gameplay is very, very different. Pretty much, it just has the setting.
You mean like medieval?
There are three different facets of the society, but it's a very, very different game and very fun. Really pretty unique roll and write in the way that it works. That every round, it's bingo style. Every round, there's going to be some dice. Everybody can choose them and develop their version of Twan completely different directions. And it's not super crunchy, but it has surprising depth, I thought.
I believe I sent this to Z also.
Probably in the next couple days.
And also then Z reviewed Detective of Modern Crime Board Game Season 1. This is a smaller, crunchier detective. Not crunchier, sorry.
Really?
Smaller, less involved, I think.
Okay.
Sorry, I know, crunchier. No, you can't get much more crunchy than Detective. So it's a little more, I shouldn't say a little, I believe it's a lot more streamlined. And so really? I'm kind of excited about that because I love Detective. But I don't always have the time to spend to play it.
Yeah. It was a big investment, definitely. In time to play.
All right. Then we have Clever Huck Dry from Wolfgang Warsch. Huh. This is one I have not heard about. But is it this? This is the three times as clever?
Yep. Will this be... I don't know. I played the first one. I thought it was clever. Just did not care for the complete and total lack of theme, and so I never looked at the second one.
Wait a minute.
I'm sure
wait a minute.
Continues
Who's
to be great.
About
and
theme?
I continue to wish they hadn't cut out the farming theme that was in the original prototype. I know you don't care, but
no, I don't care about I don't think a roll and write really needs a theme. Here's the thing. I liked the first one. It's fine. And the second one was fine, but it felt like the first one reimagined. And looking at the scoring sheet here, it's just another scoring sheet. I think they should have just put the rules for all three and the same dice in each game. That's what I'm guessing, but whatever. It will sell.
Yep.
Fayum.
I did not expect that.
I don't know anything about this. Friedman Freese tends to make his games look really cool or really boring. Unfortunately, this background
it
and
definitely
board...
looks on the boring side.
This looks like a 90s game, doesn't it?
Let me pitch it to you from what I understand. It is a deck builder, but in this deck builder, as you play cards and you put them in your discard pile, eventually there will come a point where the next cards you have to play come from the top of your discard pile. So it's first in, last out. As I keep on playing cards, I am defining the order of events I'm going to be able to do in the future. So you have to really pay attention and do a lot of forward thinking that, okay, I could do these three things right now, but then those would be terrible to do in reverse order later on. I'm really intrigued by that idea.
Oh, I'm sure it's a fine game. I really tend to like 2F games. I just don't know. This one looks like it's designed in 2020.
Yeah.
Monasterium. Another DLP game, but this one's lesser known, mostly because I don't believe I know this designer.
I think it's a first-time designer.
No, he did El Gaucho, Pagoda, and he did Scharf Schulten, which is a good trick-taking game I like. Festo, which was okay.
I would like to rescind my I think he's a first-time designer observation.
Huh. Well, have you seen this one?
What I understand of it is it's a dice worker placement game, doing Euro-y type things. And the cool element of it is, on my turn, I roll all the dice, and I don't do the actions right away. Instead, we're kind of building up a depot of dice on these different worker placement actions. And so what you do is, if you rolled like three threes and a one and a two, I really want to set up for a number two action. But if I place all three threes, I'll be making the number three action much more powerful. But the thing is, you don't do them immediately. After all the dice have been placed, making some actions better than others, we then take turns drafting the dice off of those. So I might have made action number three really powerful, but then you're first, you might scarf all those up. So there's a really interesting, setup and payoff interaction between players that does sound very cool. The rest I don't know. I just thought that sounded like a really neat action selection mechanism.
All right, so two things. One, John wants, I give Rado a compliment. Rado saves a stream. Tom can only comment, is it boring or not? One would expect more from a professional board game reviewer. Indeed.
I win!
You do.
I win the internet.
Secondly, right. I think if we look at last year's Spiel and Gen Con, there was a distinct lack of big box Euros. There was very few, actually.
Really?
There was very few over last year in general. There's a lot coming out right now.
That's an interesting observation.
Well, thank you. Now he's going to disprove it. But before we get to that, let's take a look at Micro Macro Crime City.
This one I don't know. I like the title.
You're looking at these scenes. I really like this artwork.
Oh, no, I have seen this. This seems so cool. This is turning Where's Waldo into a board game, basically. Into a deduction mystery-solving game.
Well, look how big it is.
Yeah,
it's huge.
Really, it's gigantic. It'll cover your wall, I guess. Or maybe not that big, but...
So it looks like you turn over a card, and then you're going to look for scenes in this big thing, this giant city map, 75 by 110 centimeters. That's pretty big. And you will... I guess there's different cases on the same one. I love Where's Waldo. My only worry about this one is, I wonder why it's in black and white. I think maybe it's just easier to see things on it. A color would be cool, but I used to look at Where's Waldo books forever when I was young. I love those things.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Now, this seems like a really, really clever kind of family experience.
All right. Paleo. This is about dieting?
Yeah. And I am a paleo advocate, so I'm all about it. Here's the thing that's interesting to me about this. I haven't really done much research because I didn't feel like I need to. First of all, Hans & Gluck always puts out solid designs. You know, I mean, they don't have a bad design amongst them. I mean, they're not always the most exciting games, but they're always really solidly designed Euros. Correct me if I'm wrong, Tom. I don't know if they've ever done a co-op game.
Hans & Gluck?
Yeah. I haven't looked. I probably should have.
I'm going back in my head here. No. I mean, they must have somewhere along the line.
It's not their thing. It is definitely not their thing. And, the fact that they have decided to make a co-op Euro set in prehistoric times, their big push of the year, I'm always interested in whatever they do. It's just always a safe bet that we will enjoy the game. So I'm really intrigued by that, though, because I figure it must be something really special. Because they don't normally do this.
I think it looks really good. And the co-op thing, there certainly is a lot of co-op games now, so I'd be curious to see what this one adds differently.
Yeah.
Pandemic Legacy Season 0. Get it. Enough said.
That's all you need to know.
It is fantastic. So you'll have fun playing it. Although I highly differ from Mr. Richard Ham.
What do you mean?
I believe the order is 102.
I would love to debate you on that. Maybe we can do it at some point in the future because it'd be way too spoilery.
I just don't feel. I feel like the spoilers.
If I could from my mind, I would want to play them 0-1-2, definitely.
Gameplay wise, it has to be the other way because you would feel a step down if you went 0-1-2. One would feel less exciting after playing 0, because they learn lessons game wise from 1. Also, there. I know he talks about spoilers, but the spoiler is so minuscule that it all it does is lead you into the first one. So I don't feel like it's a big deal. It's kind of like if you watch a movie and then you watch a prequel and you're like, oh, so that's John's father. That's the spoiler it is. Big deal.
Nobody's anybody's father necessarily. That was not a spoiler, folks. Don't worry.
No.
And by the way, I just did a search. Hans and Gluck. They have one co-op game in their library. It's Paleo. According to Board Game Geek.
All right, the next one I'm a little excited about here, 2491 Planet Ship, because this re-implements City of Spies Estrel 1942.
Which was an excellent game, yes.
It really was. It's a game that did not get a lot of love. Last year, Meebo published a deluxe version of it.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So this year they're doing the same thing, but in space. Now, the artwork here is a little wonky. And I haven't set up my copy yet to look at it. I hope it looks a little less confusing than this picture. In this picture, there is a lot of stuff going on.
Oh, you're saying it's like it's overwhelming? It's visually...
Do you feel that way a little? It looks like a little... Maybe...
I don't know. You have a physical copy. You tell us.
I haven't opened it up yet. There's a lot of games. I just got it. But I'm excited about it because I like the original game.
Yeah.
Whistle Mountain.
That is a really special game.
It is. It's so in Whistle Mountain, it's a worker placement game, and you get to actually customize the spots you put the workers in, which is a really cool idea. So you're placing these tiles on the board, and depending on how you place them, when you place these airships down, you will get a variety of different things. I just think it's really neat.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, this is not the first game that has the, oh, it's a worker placement game where we kind of design the board as we go. But you players have so much flexibility and freedom because you're not only building the worker placement spots, you're building the scaffolding that will hold them and it has different functions. And I don't know, I have heard some people complain. I'm curious, Tom, what do you think about the theme? Because it's wacky.
Oh, sure. But the theme makes me laugh. It's like, you let a guy fall in the whirlpool.
Exactly.
Rescue him. No one dies. You just lose points because they had to swim in a whirlpool for a really long time. And they're like, oh, why didn't you rescue me earlier? I don't know. I just think it's funny.
That's my point as well. It's whimsical and silly. It kind of realizes it's silly and leans into it and said, look, just have some silly fun. Yes, it doesn't necessarily make sense that we're going to build this gigantic contraption at the bottom of a valley that we know is going to flood. But who cares? You got to save all your drowning workers. You know,
it's really fantastic. My only complaint about the game is I think a lot of people might walk by it because the last game, Whistle Stop, looks like this game. They both have the word whistle in it. The first expansion for Whistle Stop was Whistle Stop Mountain.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize that. Okay.
Well, let me double check on that. I don't want to give incorrect information, but I think... Well...
Yeah. Plus, people might just be assuming, well, I already played Whistle Stop. I don't think I need to play Whistle Stop Rocky Mountains expansion. This game is so radically different than Whistle Stop.
Yeah, so if you like one, that does not mean you'll like the other.
Exactly.
I really feel like they're different. The only thing they have in common is they both have whistles in them. And the whistles in Whistle Stop are much more important because if you don't have whistles in Whistle Stop, you are in some serious trouble. In Whistle Mountain, they're a wild resource, which is useful. Until you buy the upgrade that makes coal wild, which is amazing. I like the game.
Yes, folks, it's just as exciting as Tom just made it sound.
Yeah, wild coal! All right. So, I was so excited about Rajas of the Ganges of Dice Chimers because I thought it was an expansion. Then I found out it was a roll and write, and I was like, oh. So, no, I mean...
Are you getting roll and write fatigue?
Oh, for sure. I mean, isn't everybody? But... It's not so much that, it's that usually a roll and write is going to be very different than the board game, or at very least it's going to be not as good usually. There's very few roll and writes where I'll say the roll and write's better than the game. I love Rajah's. I think it's one of the best games I've ever played.
Wow, I really feel so strongly.
I really do. There's a lot of things about it that has dice drafting. It has the little Carcassonne building, the tiles, which I like. It has a really neat scoring system.
Yeah, the two scores that meet up together, yeah. It was a very, very cool game.
This looks like the same thing.
Well, it is the same designers. Inca and Marcus Brand,
they are amazing designers. So, all right, Monster Expedition. So Monster Expedition is from Alexander Pfister, and it is set in the world. Well, don't get too excited.
Yes.
It's set in the world of Monster
Carnival,
which was
Carnival
from
Monster, one or the other.
Richard Garfield.
Yeah.
Now that was a drafting game. This is a dice push your luck style game, and I would say it's most similar to Las Vegas, actually.
Okay. Oh, so you played this?
I have.
Okay, and so this is on the lighter side. This is not a typical big box crazy.
It is not even remotely heavy.
Wow, I had no idea.
Me and Mike DeLucio have been arguing all weekend about this because he thinks it's quite a good game, and I think it's a pile of blah, 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 and that's actually higher than my opinion.
I think the publishers should send me a review copy so they can get a third opinion.
It feels like a clunky Las Vegas to me, but,
wow.
You know, be that as it may, go watch Mike's review. He only played it solo, though, so what does he know? All right. Small World of Warcraft. It's Small World with a new theme and a few tiny rule changes. But that's great because I like it.
I think it's great because it'll probably bring a lot of people who never would have thought about playing a board game into the hobby.
I agree.
Yeah.
All righty. Sidereal Confluence. This is one game that you will never play. I would imagine, since it's 4 to 9 players.
So. If I had a chance, I would certainly play this, because I actually do like negotiation. I enjoy it.
Oh, I know that. I'm just saying that. And here's the deal. I've played this with the low end before.
Okay.
You need probably 6 for it to really shine, because it's kind of like Dune. There's all these aliens, and it's a really interesting theme. All these aliens are getting together to essentially create a universal harmonious system.
Yeah.
You just kind of want it to be done a little bit your way. So you're cooperating. You're not trying to, like, beat everyone else. You just want the vision to be yours. It's hard to explain. It's still competitive as all get out. But everyone has very distinct special abilities, and it is one of the best negotiating games there is, and it's finally done with a cover that you aren't ashamed to have on your shelf.
Yeah.
Speaking of weird covers, this next Meebo game, I stared at the cover of this for a long time now.
Trying to understand what you're seeing, looking at?
Yeah. So apparently these are some sort of weird monsters that terrorize, but their feet are sticks. It must just be the artwork.
Yeah.
And I believe they're monsters that come after people in Portugal. I haven't looked over the game too much. I mostly just keep staring at that cover trying to hide from it. It looks interesting.
I believe, if I recall correctly, we are playing as the monsters and we're moving around the board trying to corral people and, you know, and capture them. If I recall correctly, that's what it is. And there's different people. We're trying to do different objectives and whatnot.
Right. I want to like it. So hopefully.
Yeah.
Here's a game I wasn't expecting. Shotten Totten 2.
Finally!
What?
Feels like we've been waiting forever for the long-awaited sequel.
What are you talking about? No one's been waiting for this. So
I'm perhaps being a bit hyperbolic there, yes.
It says in this time, so if you've never played Shotten Totten, which was remade as Battleline and then remade as Shotten Totten, is one of the greatest back-and-forth two-player games of all time. If you like Lost Cities, you might like it. As you play groups of 3 cards at different locations and you want to have a better group than the other person. Very simple, great game.
Here's a question. Is this compatible? Can you mix and match with the first deluxe reprints of Shotten Totten and mix and match units or whatnot? I wonder.
I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Kenichi has definitely been revisiting a lot of his old classics and doing new things.
Anytime I see a new Kenichi game, I'm like, what's this a reimplementation? Yeah. All right, Isle of Cats. This one is the only thing that's special about this is essentially this is finally coming out in German.
Yeah, so for Deutsch.
So for people in Germany, this is a really big deal. And it should be because this is a great polyomino game.
Yes, one of the best. Devir is back.
Wait a minute. That's interesting. I just saw that the description says, rescue as many cats as you can before Lord Vesh arrives and destroys their homes.
Yes. Did you not know what you were doing at the Isle of Cats?
I knew I was rescuing cats. I didn't know anything about any Lord Vesh. But...
Oh, there's the evil Lord Vesh.
Ah, whatever. Yeah, okay. All right.
The theme is always there, Tom. You just got to look for it.
Out of This World, which is a bunch of high schoolers who are... it's a cooperative game, and you are attempting to do some sort of mission. There's multiple missions in the game. It is not necessarily an IP game, but it is 100% inspired by Stranger Things.
I think a lot of developers got inspired around the same time a few years ago when they first saw Stranger Things, and everybody started working on, well, I can make the board game out of it, and this is the latest one. What I don't understand is why 3-player minimum? That's just weird.
Okay, so I've played it. I think it might be too easy with two.
All right.
Because in this game, you're going around and you are kind of revealing cards in front of you, and sometimes you're helping each other. I think with two players, it might be too easy. The information would be a little too easy to keep track of. That's just a guess. Mm. I think I've played with five. I really enjoyed it more than I thought I would. It's a clever game that has a bunch of scenarios. I'm not convinced you need the scenarios per se. They're just like minor rule changes to the game. I guess you could pick one, but I don't know that I felt strongly like there's this continuous story. You would like it. You'd like that stuff. All right. Cloud City. Extremely simple game. We played this on the Dice Tower channel. Connecting buildings, putting walkways back and forth. It's your typical Phil Walker Harding. Simplicity is king.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of times, my problem with Blue Orange games are there. I would love to play this if I had kids. You know, as in a family scenario. Would you say this game stands on its own as a gamer game, or is it a little bit too much on the light side, as is often the case with?
Well, I wouldn't say kids, but it's definitely a gateway style game.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, sure. But I don't know that that's bad. We need more of those games. Blue Orange is a master at putting those out.
Oh, yeah, totally. That is their niche.
The next game was at Dice Tower West, and everyone was raving about it. They were playtesting it there.
Yeah, did you play it?
No, because it wasn't done yet. I wait for the finish.
Oh, you should have, Tom. Cubitos is excellent. But here's the deal. You probably have played it if you played an earlier game from AEG called Automobiles.
I love Automobiles.
Planes, Trains, and Automobiles series. Automobiles was the dice drafting, formula race game.
Yeah.
This takes that same basic idea and takes it to an 11. It just blows it up and adds tons of cool special abilities and, modular boards. And it makes you say, what? Automobile? What? I don't even remember that anymore, because this just, enhances what was already a really sharp game and makes it just silly, goofy fun as these cubes are racing around. And yeah, I played it a few times as well, and I was blown away by it. I know Suzanne Sheldon almost tried to steal it.
She was threatening to, for sure. I heard nothing but good, and it's now finally coming out. It says release date November 6th, not too far away. $66 is a little pricey, but hopefully it's really good.
Yep.
Super Skill Pinball 4K'd. One of my favorite roll and writes. Well, actually,
I really need to play this game.
Let me rephrase it. It is my favorite roll and write. I really like it. But I love pinball. And finally, there's a game about pinball. Fantastic Reich. This is from Bruce.
Fantastische Reiche?
It's from Bruce Glasgow. So Bruce has also done, what's the game he did that everyone knows him for? Oh, Betrayal at House on the Hill.
Oh, well, hello.
And Fantasy Realms. So I don't know. This is a small... Oh, never mind.
Wait, this is a German version of Fantasy Realms.
I believe, if I'm correct, I thought it was a sequel.
I'm looking at the description. It's Fantasy Realms, Auf Deutsch.
You're right. Okay.
I win again.
Well, here's the thing. I knew they were making a sequel to Fantasy Realms.
Oh, I see.
And so I thought this was it. I was a little excited there. Oh, well.
No. Now you have to only... Now you can only be excited for the Germans.
Well, speaking of Germans, we got the Puerto Rico, the new version of that from Elias coming out, which will probably be a normal board game, but they're going to call it Deluxe. And Detective, we're starting to hit stuff that we know about. Seven Wonders Second Edition, Tammany Hall. Oh, this one looks cool. Oh, this one, this one kind of mind-boggled me when I first heard about it. Athenaeum Mystic Library. That's interesting, right? I like the idea of this, but this is the second game about a magical library.
How many bookshelf management games does one publisher need in their catalog?
Isn't that weird? I thought the last one was a really neat idea. And now they're doing it again. This one looks cool. I know this is weird. I like the idea of sorting out books. I find organizing my game collection very therapeutic. I think this is a really cool idea. It's just weird to me that the same company is making the same weird theme.
Apparently, you are their target audience.
I guess I like the theme, but it,
Renegade is a good publisher. They have good instincts. You gotta assume, as they're sitting around the table saying, right, so should we pick this one up? Well, we just did the other one. Oh, okay, we got to. I mean, I guess maybe that just speaks to
it. It must be that good of a game.
They decide to have a second magical library sorting game. Crazy.
All right, then we got Mini Express. This is...
This is a follow-up to Mini Rails, which I hadn't played, but I heard was very, very good.
Not for me.
Whoa. Not a fan of the Mini Rails.
Not a fan of the Mini Rails.
Okay. Then you probably want to move on from Mini Express.
I don't know. Just because one game I don't like. Again, I didn't dislike Whistle Stop. I thought Whistle Stop was good. But even if I
Not
hated
Whistle
it...
You mean Mini Rails?
No. I'm saying Whistle Stop.
We're talking about Whistle Stop.
I'm saying whether I liked Whistle Stop didn't affect how I felt about Whistle Mountain.
Fair enough.
So the same thing might be here. Fleet the Dice game has been out for a couple of years, but now in Germany.
Yep.
Here's a new interesting one. Influentia. This is actually a smaller box than this picture might make you think. It's no, it's like this big.
Yeah.
It's a neat idea where you're trying to influence or control the cyber traffic of implants through the technosurgeons of Pisa. So, I don't know. I'm just
by doing trick taking.
Yeah, I know, but it's kind of a cool theme.
Yeah, no. I mean, I just completely ignore it because it doesn't support two, so I'm happy to move on. But
okay,
I'm happy
for the
trick takers out there that they're still getting all the love.
In case you thought Escape Tales was getting too nice and light, Escape Tales, Children
Don't
of Wormwood.
Sunshine.
This is the third in this very dark escape room game that's also really good.
Yeah, it's so weird.
It's really good.
Such a break. I mean, they could be an exit or an unlock series if they would just. I mean, you want to play these games with families, but
I'll tell you,
so dark.
Escape Tales: Low Memory is broken into thirds, and I was sweating in the first third because of the story.
Yeah,
Have you played that one?
We played, which one was the first one?
That's where the guy's wife was dead.
And we played the previous one, which was the Dreamscape one.
Yes. Yeah, this one has, the Escape Tales Low Memory had three supposedly disconnected stories, which work together.
Oh, I see.
This one here is a dark,
it looks like the
mysterious...
previous one yet. Children of Wormwoods.
Yeah. And you know what? I'm still going to play it. Alrighty, well, unfortunately, we are at 10 minutes left.
Yeah.
Well, we could talk about this all day. So, folks, here's your chance. Tell us a game, and we'll look for it. I'm just going to start zooming through these.
Yeah, if there's anything that we didn't that's below 44 thumbs that we should have talked about, I'll tell you one, because we were just a couple away from it. Mysterium Park is really good. Now, if I recall correctly, you're just kind of so-so on Mysterium. I wonder if this would turn you around, because this is basically Mysterium Express. It takes half the time to play. You're only finding two solutions instead of three, and it's just to the metal. It's it's as quick and as compelling as Dixit, if Dixit were a cooperative game. And we were really blown away by it. And it works great for two.
All right, we have to talk about Hallertau. All right.
This have you played it? They have not sent me a copy, so I know nothing about it.
No, I'm just saying that this is a big Uwe Rosenberg in which he tackles the new theme of farming.
He's going to crack that nut someday.
I don't know. It's a big... Some people are saying it looks like a multiplayer version of Fields of Arl.
Okay.
To me...
It was weird that Fields of Arl did not support more than two. That was always so strange.
Well, they did add the three-player expansion.
Oh, did they?
So, yeah, this is... I'm excited about this one, but that's because I just like Uwe Rosenberg Big Box Games. Not always, like, amazing, but they always at least make me just have fun diving around and learning about a new game.
Yep, it's definitely a must play.
All right, well, here comes the games from people. Okay, first we have the Time Stories. This is the new Time Stories Revolution, A Midsummer
Night.
That's
a question I would definitely have. Are you going to go back, Tom? Or are you done?
Nope, I'm done.
You sworn off it.
Asmodee emailed me and said, would you like this? And I said no. I sent it to one of my other reviewers, and I can't keep putting emotional energy into a game that's going to disappoint me.
No, it probably went to Brian. I think Brian is still
Brian
on
did it.
Board.
Yeah. So that's fine. I don't have to play everything. You know, I'm sure some people are going to love it, but I can only be hurt too many times. All right. Viscounts. Is Viscounts on this list? Let me look.
West Kingdom?
Because I believe it's coming out now, but it may not be part of the official... Yeah,
no, it's on this list somewhere. Oh no, but it wasn't Spiel. It would have been high on the list except we did the hey only Spiel associated, whatever that means.
But he's on such a roll right now. I assume it's a great game. Architects Paladins.
It is
back to back.
It is fantastic. It's a double. It's a rondel within a rondel, mixed with kind of almost a programming game. It's really sharp.
All right, the next one says Indus. Here we go. I found it. Build the Indus Valley Civilization through Flip and Write. This is from Crimson Studio, designed by Amit Gadge. Looks like a roll and write similar to the Cartographer. That's what it looks like, doesn't it?
Yeah. And
that looks a lot like Cartographers.
Yeah.
Again, not a bad thing. I mean, you copy good games to make good games, but... I hope it's good.
Well, I mean, honestly, if it's just Cartographers without the, every couple of turns I take your card and spit all over it to ruin all your plans, I'd be very happy because I wanted to love Cartographers, but it was just, why is there this take that in there? Why?
I see Cosmic Frog game, but there's not one on this page.
Okay, well, again, people are looking without the Spiel limiter turned on.
Oh, man, I would not have looked at Indus had I seen that this person marked it four times. If you yell out at us, I will not look at your game. In fact, that's rude to do that.
You are retroactively removing Indus from this discussion.
Winter Kingdom. Have you played this yet?
No, it just showed up the other day. I'm very excited because, of course, you know I love me some Kingdom Builder.
And I
know you loved you some Kingdom Builder.
I did not like Kingdom Builder.
But
I like Winter Kingdom.
Whoa! Does it have the amazing breakthrough of two cards in your hand instead
of one? No. But what it does is it gives you other cards. It allows you to manipulate the card you have in your hand. So you still play the card in your hand, put out the three houses, but then you have a card that lets you move a house from one to another. I have a card that lets me do... And you, the way you place the houses will give you money, depending on each game is different. And then you use that money to build cards from your hand that give you special abilities to manipulate and move these houses all over the place and do stuff. It's a gamer version of Kingdom Builder, and I really like it.
That is really interesting. So it's still, every round I've got this one. This is what restricts me, but I have all these things I can do that I can earn money, pay for. That actually is very cool.
I'll be doing my review of it eventually, but I went into it going, here we go again. And I was very happy. Now, the only disadvantage is analysis paralysis will grind it to a halt.
Okay.
Because someone might sit there and go, if I put this here, or I could put it over here.
You have an explosion of options every time.
Oh, yeah.
And it's one of those ones where, by the time my turn comes around, the board will have changed enough that I couldn't necessarily plan, kind of a thing.
All righty, let's see here. Wutakai. Where is that?
What was it? With a W?
Yeah, I don't see that on here. Sorry. Let's see what else we have. Oh, I think we caught up to everything people said. Plankton Rising. Is that on here?
Rising?
Yeah, SpongeBob SquarePants Plankton Rising.
Oh.
This is a re-implementation of Thanos Rising.
Oh, is it? Okay.
This is, I believe, the fifth one they did, Thanos Rising.
If you can only play one Rising, which one should you play?
I don't know yet because I haven't played the two new ones. There's Batman and SpongeBob, although I'm kind of leaning towards the SpongeBob one just because it's different. Marvel, Harry Potter, and Star Wars. So I couldn't tell you which one.
Rising for everybody.
So, yeah, I'm... let's see here. Capital Lux.
Oh, really?
That is on here somewhere, I'm sure. Capital Lux 2, Generations.
Yeah, that was the first one was a very sharp... Gosh, it came out quite a while ago, actually. I'm surprised it's getting a sequel. Just a really sharp card combo, building up sets of cards game with really cool art. And I imagine this will have a bunch of new cool special powers. Again, I wonder if you can mix and match with the original. Probably.
Oh, the Escape Roll and Write. Well, I feel...
Yes! For those of us who are still excited about Roll and Writes, this is probably in my top 10 most anticipated of this list.
Really?
Oh, God. I mean, I look forward... I mean, we have played so much Escape over the years. I love the idea of trying to catch that magic
again. Escape.
It'll be the same basic idea, but they'll do new and interesting things with it.
I just don't get Escape played as much. I love it a lot, but my kids refuse to play it because they got so... They were so nerve-wracked by the game.
Yeah. Love it.
Someone said we need a bread rising.
You'll know that's when it's jumped the shark. When they've got every other IP they can do.
The Shining Kodak Chronicles. So this is The Shining, but it is it's called The Shining Escape from Overlook Hotel, I believe. Yeah, this
it
is from the op.
Supports 1 to 99 players.
Yeah, it means it's a cooperative game. It's an escape room style game. No, it's an escape room style game.
Oh, okay.
Which sounds like it could be again a little jittery because you're playing, you know, in a pretty horrific setting.
Yeah, totally.
I'm going to be showing this one off in my live play. We're not going to be playing through the whole thing because we don't want to spoil it.
Of course,
there's 2 hours of it where you're trying to escape Jack. That's got to be stressful, I would imagine. but they said they're using the same system as they did the Scooby-Doo one, and that was a great system. I really liked it.
You're tempting me to go back to play an escape game. I swore off them completely.
Oh, really? You can talk about rolling rides, but escape
game. Yep. You've got your rolling ride fatigue. I've got my escape room fatigue. But I loves me some Scooby-Doo.
Alrighty, folks. Well, that is... Man.
Okay, yeah.
We could have done this for 3 hours, probably.
Yep.
And, of course, some of these games will come out and be forgotten to the annals of time, because it always happens. And some of these games will become mega hits. Well, maybe not mega hits, but hits. Then there's games that are coming out that aren't on that list, because... One of the things that's different this year is they may not be releasing technically with the digital convention. They may not want to pay a company to do something digital. So, like, we didn't see any games there from Plan B. We didn't see games from a few different companies. Like, Plan B has Bees coming out, their sequel to Azul. So there's a lot of these things that are changing up the landscape. And, in fact, if we don't have as many conventions next year, which could happen, maybe the idea of digital conventions will also die out. Who knows?
Yeah. Oh, I mean, well, who knows? You know. Is there going to be digital Dice Tower conventions in the future?
Yeah, but I wouldn't call them a convention. I call them like a show, right? Like, we're doing a Winter Spectacular in December, but I wouldn't call that a convention. It's just like it's an event. Come watch us. Right. We're doing a bunch of stuff, but it's not really a convention. It's something different. It's something that we could do even if conventions were going on.
Yeah.
So... Alrighty, well, that's that. I will see you all on my own channel, hopefully tomorrow. And of course, Rado says he has playthroughs coming. You're gonna get to see a lot of games talked about over the next 2 weeks. It's gonna be overwhelming.
I'm gonna have a big blurt of probably 5 or 6 run-throughs this week, trying to get a bunch. Some of the ones we talked about, other ones. We will be doing the live playthrough this weekend, probably of the Praga game. And and I'm not done talking about this list, folks. So watch my channel, and you will soon see, I'm thinking probably a top 25 that'll be a bit more Euro-focused.
I'm pretty sure that was Euro-focused. We didn't talk about much non-Euro stuff. There's not a lot of non-Euros on that list.
This isn't Gen Con, after all.
All righty, until next time, I'm Tom Vassell.
I'm Rado, everybody.
We'll see you next time. Have fun shopping.
Yes. Bye-bye.